So today we'll hear a talk on steps 6 and 7. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character, and 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. So please help me give a warm welcome to Jack W. from Carbondale, Colorado. Come on in, Jack.
Thank you, Sonny. And thank you, Sherry, for inviting me. I'm Jack Wheeler, and I'm an alcoholic. I've been sober by the grace of God and the 36 spiritual principles of Alcoholics Anonymous since January 1st, 2004. And for that, I am very grateful. Thank you all for that. You know, Sherry sent me a list of dates and steps, and like an idiot, I said, I'll do 6 and 7. And the 6 and 7 to me is like the voodoo stuff in Alcoholics Anonymous. We try and understand it. We try and read about it. We try and learn about it. And my experience is nothing has worked for me to understand it more than my experience with it. And, in our text, it says that right before we get into 6 and 7, it says that we take an hour. And I want to talk about the hour a little bit. The hour is not part of step 6. It actually sets the table for me to do step 6. I take the information and the experience that I have from doing a fifth step with a man that has done a fifth step with a man that has done a fifth step with a man. And I look at those things, those character defects, those patterns in my life that continue to follow me around. And I lay them up against the first 5 proposals. You know, are those things, am I powerless over them? You know, I'm the guy that tries to fix it and I can't fix it. You know, you'll hear all the time and in every meeting about 6 and 7 that you go to, you're going to hear people's journey with their character defects. And I'm here to tell you, if you're working on your character defects, you're living in them. That has been my experience. I'm ill-equipped to fix my character defects. If I could fix my character defects, you would have a different speaker today. It's just not possible. I've been trying and it has not gone well. You can ask the people that live with me on a daily basis. And that's what we look at. Am I powerless over them? Do I have a belief system that tells me I can fix them? Because I do, you know, I have that belief system, and my belief system it's funny. My belief system is resounding. And the cool thing is the actions that we take in Alcoholics Anonymous shatter my belief systems. And then I have faith because I have experience. Am I willing to let God remove them? Am I willing to turn my will and my life, my thoughts and my actions over to the care of God? You know, that includes my character defects. And that's what 4 and 5 do, is they put me in that place. And then it gets into step 6. It says, if you can answer to your satisfaction, then we're at step 6. Well, have I left anything out? Is it all on the table? You know, and I'm that guy that will give you my drinking because it's the thing that's on my eyeball. But I won't give you my thinking. I won't give you my belief system. And step 6 asks us to look at those things. You know, it says those things that are objectionable to me. I think the only reason I think that sentence is important is because I look at my character defects. And I see them clear as ever after a fifth step. They're on my eyeball one more time. I am that guy. I'm grandiose. I'm arrogant. I'm self-centered to the extreme. That's me. And they are objectionable to me. I don't want to be that guy. And the sixth step asks us 4 things. 1, is it objectionable to you? 2, can you do anything about it? 3, are you willing to let God do something with it? 4, let God do anything he sees fit. Those 4 things are tough. because I have this belief system that says I'm a man, I'm supposed to be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps. If it's going to get done, it's going to get done by me. That's my belief system. And I look at those four things in this new light, the light of turning my will over to the care of God. And all of a sudden I realize that they are objectionable to me. They have been objectionable to me for a very long time. And I have fought the good fight. And I can't stop doing it. And am I willing to try something different? My belief system gets in the way. You know? And what I realize is that I am willing. I'm willing to let God do whatever He sees fit. You know, and I used to be that guy that thought that I had to have the list of character defects. I had to know them, intellectualize them, and try and fix them. And what my text tells me is I won't have any luck with that. That is the madness of the spiritual malady. You know, you look at the bedevilments. The bedevilments are available to me in sobriety. You know, in the doctor's opinion, it says that our problems pile up on us and become astonishingly difficult to solve. Well, if you looked at that astonishing pile, you would see my character defects. And every guy I've sponsored, my own experience tells me that I'm staring at that pile, that astonishing pile of problems. Every single guy I've seen come in here is staring at that astonishing pile. And we come in here and somebody says to us, stop looking at the pile. It's not the problem. Look over here. That's what they told me. My character defects are the astonishing pile, and I can't stop looking at it. I can't peel my eye away. When life gets going, we come in here and we get sober and we get a huge, this big life, this wonderful life, but it's part of the human race. And life comes at us. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. And I don't like discomfort. It's one of my character defects, not liking discomfort. And what I've learned here is that I can live in discomfort. I can be okay in discomfort. I can be useful in discomfort. You know, and it's funny because in step seven, I always used to think I had to work on my character defects. Working on them in step six, I become clear that working on them doesn't work. What I'm supposed to do is get closer to you and closer to God. What I'm supposed to do is carry the message to another man dying of alcoholism. That's what I'm supposed to do. But I'm so self-centered, I want to work on my fear of financial insecurity. You know, if you look at the bedevilments, from the bedevilments to the ninth step promises, there's 31 pages of work, and we're right in the middle of that with these two steps. And the cool thing is the bedevilments are the antithesis. They're the exact opposite of the promises on page 83 and 84. Line for line, they're the exact opposite. And there's 31 pages of work, and I think six and seven is the heartbeat of that. It doesn't matter what my character defects are. And I say that, and I hope you hear it, because it took me years to hear it. It doesn't matter what my character defects are. The reality is that in the seventh step prayer, it says, God, take all of me, good and bad. Make me useful. I'm the one that I want to get good to be good. I want to show up with no character defects. The cool thing about Alcoholics Anonymous is it meets us right where we are. I don't have to get good. I just have to do what's here. I just have to do what's right in front of me. You know, and the seventh step prayers is perfect. And it took me a long time to understand that it says that it says good and bad. With my character assets and my character defects, take me. Use me, put it all to good use. And God does. Alcoholics Anonymous does. You know, it says one of the most misquoted lines in our text. People say it all the time that my character defects are will become my greatest asset. The book doesn't say that. The book says, in God's hands, my character defects will become my greatest assets. My dark past will be put to good use in God's hands, not in Jack's hands. And for years, I'm the guy that tried to manipulate it. I'm the guy that tried to select what was supposed to be out there. And what I know today is that I'm just supposed to give it all to God, put it all on the plate. You know, I'm the guy. If I, the greatest thing that ever happened to me in Alcoholics Anonymous is I didn't get what I wanted. Because if I would have gotten what I wanted, I would have settled. I would have sold God short and I would have sold you short. Because I had no idea what was even possible. I'm the guy that's in the trenches fighting for my life, trying to manipulate how I show up, what I show up with. And it was such a relief to find out God wants all of me. That you want all of me. That it's all going to be put to good use. And it's I was a firefighter for 18 years on a, on the volunteer service here. I live in Carbondale, Colorado, which is about $4.5 million south of Aspen. I grew up in Aspen, Colorado, and it's a small town. It's a small valley, and if you want to put the fire out, you need to go get the engine and volunteer. And I was a volunteer for 18 years, and I was a captain on the department. And when I first started, they sent us to a fire academy, and we're all brand new, and we're sitting at the fire academy. And at the fire academy, there's a burn building, and we're all in all our bunker gear, and we're waiting our turn to go into a live fire situation in the burn building. And we're watching the guys go in and out. And some of them would come in and out and they'd be fine, but other guys would come go in and come out and their face shield would be melted down around their helmet and they'd pull off their bunker gear and they'd have burns on a couple spots where they didn't do a good job suiting up. And I'm watching it and I'm nervous, you know, like, wow. And we go in to the burn building and I'm on the hose and I got two guys with me and the fire's going and down low on the in the room. And I know how to put a fire out, right? Put the wet stuff on the hot stuff. And I we did that. And we opened up the hose and we drowned the fire. And what happens when you do that is the fire, the water hits the fire and it creates steam and it raises the temperature to 16 to 1800 degrees and it brings the heat layer down around your head. And the guy stops us, that the guy, the training guy stops us and he says, that's not how you do it. Didn't make any sense to me. And he said, what you got to do is you got to start up here and you got to spray the water up high on the ceiling and come down in a Z and then put the fire out. He said, because you got to cool the atmosphere first. Otherwise, the steam will super heat the air and you'll be, you could kill your team. And that's what six and seven are. It's where we cool the atmosphere. It's where the whole room changes temperature. And you can effectively start changing. You can that transformation that's promised to us in the steps. If I actually go to God and say, take it all of it, good and bad, and make me useful, the whole atmosphere of my life changes. I don't have to work on my character defects. I don't have to try not to be that guy. And the best atmosphere for us to have six and seven take effect in our life is to go do your amends. To have a discipline where you're watching continuously throughout the day for those manifestations of self, those character defects. Continue to arise. If you can practice those things, the atmosphere of your life changes and the fire just goes away. And that's been my experience here, you know. And it's funny because when the guys would come out of the burn building, I did melt my heat shield down over my helmet, and I'm walking around the fire academy like it's a badge of honor. And I'd see the other guys where their heat shield was melted down around their helmet. And it's just that knowing nod when you walk by them. And that's what it's like in Alcoholics Anonymous. We walk around, you can tell who's done the steps. You can tell who's out there helping others. And there's just that nod because we know. We know that you've been through it. We know that you're in the process. You know, I'm that guy that'll tell you I'm recovered from a hopeless state of mind and body. My life has been transformed by the power of God, the power of the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the power of sitting with one drunk talking to another drunk. And we try and explain it, and we try and talk about it. And I can tell you that my character defects have lessened. Do I still have an ego? Of course. It's original equipment. It's required for the journey. But it's right-sized a lot of the time. It's in that place where I know that it's okay. You know, it's okay for me to be me. And I never had that when I walked in here. I'm the guy that when I first came up on step six and seven, I went through it with my sponsor and we talked about it and I did the readings and I'm walking around. He'd ask me, how's step seven going? I'm going, I'm good. I'm good, Don. And maybe the third time I'm talking to him, I said, Don, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do in step seven. And I didn't. I had no idea. And he said to me, he said, Jack, step seven, you do have a job. He said, your job is to let God do his job. That's God has a role and you have a role. And you let God do his job. And your job is to act as if he did. And I thought he was telling me to act as if I didn't have any character defects. And I told him that. And he said, Jack, he's removed your single greatest character defect. And I said, really? He said, yeah, you got a sobriety date, don't you? And I was like, yeah, I do. He said, and it was removed like that. One minute I had a sobriety date, the minute before I didn't. Just like that. God, the power of God. And I didn't, I'd never looked at it. And I said, I get it. And you know, for a while I walked around acting as if I didn't have any character defects, which is a character defect all by itself. And then I realized what he was telling me was not to walk around like I didn't have any character defects. He was telling me to walk around as if God's the power. And that, when you talk about humility in step seven, God's the power. I tried everything I could do to not drink. I tried everything I could do to not take that first drink. Stone cold sober, standing in the burning wreckage of my life, my mind would take me back to a drink every single time. And then one day, it was gone. I didn't take the drink. That's the power of God. And when you think about that, the power of God, the humility in step seven is automatic. The power's there. And I'm not the power. Everything I tried, everything I wanted with all my heart to be a good man, and I couldn't get it done. And one day, like that, I was set on a course where I get to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. And He is the power. It is the power. It does for me what I could never do on my own. When you go around this room and you talk to the people in this room, they're going to tell you about the power of God. And the cool thing is, it's impossible for us to talk about the power of God. It is possible for me to tell you my story. And in that, I hope you see the power of God because it's real. I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be useful in my life. I could never accomplish that. And today I can tell you that in three places in the book, it talks about the transformation in Alcoholics Anonymous, and it talks about a change of heart. That's step seven. It's a change of heart. Where I know in my heart that God's got the whole thing, all of it. I don't need to work on being less arrogant. I don't need to be work on being less grandiose. I don't need to work on being less egotistical. I need to work on getting closer to you and God. I need to work on love and tolerance. You know, I need to work on being available to the next guy dying of this thing. And in that place, step seven comes true in my life. And the atmosphere of my life changes to love. And that's the magic here. My granddaughter, I know some of the, there, I have some friends on the meeting, and it's nice to see some of you again. I've been here. I've been to this group a number of times. I don't remember how many, but it's a wonderful group, and I love that you focus on the steps. And my granddaughter, her name's Abigail, and she's the love of my life. She's 10 years old now. And when she was four, I said to her, I said, Abigail, what's your favorite color? She said, Grandpa, my favorite color is orange. I said, that's nice, Abigail. What's your second favorite color? She said, Grandpa, my second favorite color is orange. And I thought to myself, why wouldn't it be orange? Orange is available. Hey, Jack, what's your favorite solution? My favorite solution is God. Hey, Jack, what's your second favorite solution? My second favorite solution is God. Because it's available. That's what step seven's telling us. Put it all on the plate. And Abigail was, when she was seven, I went to her and I was checking the story because I've been telling the story for a long time. I said, Abigail, what's your favorite color? She said, Grandpa, my favorite color is orange. I said, that's nice, Abigail. What's your second favorite color? She said, Grandpa, my second favorite color is chocolate. And I wanted to shake her. That's not the right answer. But that's Alcoholics Anonymous. That's the spiritual malady. Hey, Jack, what's your favorite solution? My favorite solution is God. Hey, Jack, what's your second favorite solution? My second favorite solution is chocolate or money or her or whatever. The worldly clamors get in. And we have this pragmatic program of action that brings me back to God every single time. If I just pay attention to it. And today I get to do that. And you know, we hear all the time in the rooms about how short the writings in six and seven are. I think it's all that needs to be said. It's not everything about six and seven to me, but that's because I have a personal experience with six and seven. I have a personal experience more and more and more and more. And with that, I become faithful. My belief system is resounding, and my actions and faith shatter it all the time. And I get to be more God's guy day by day around here. And I'm not fighting my character defects anymore. I get to just live the life that God puts in front of me and live a guided life and count on that inspired thought and be useful to the people around me. And it's not even that I try to do that anymore. That transformation, that change of heart has happened to me by working the steps and working with other men and women in this program. And it has been a joy. And now when people ask me about six and seven, it seems like voodoo stuff. But it's real. And it happened in my life. And it can happen in your life. Thank you very much.